We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
All right, welcome back to the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue White. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Quarter four preview of the Kent State game is brought to you by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. You can find their great brats and jalapeno relish at shotzisbrats.com. All right, Kent State versus Penn State, Beaver Stadium, noon kickoff on Saturday. Looks like the weather's going to be okay. The line is Penn State is a 35-point favorite, and the over-under is 64.5. That's the latest that I could find. Kent State's 1-1 overall. They lost their opener at Illinois, put a good showing in Memorial Stadium.
They were beating them the whole game.
Yeah, they were winning the whole game, and then A.J. Bush, the Illinois quarterback, brought them back. How about that? Drop that line on in here. They dropped that game, and then they beat Howard last weekend, FCS team, 54-14. Since the last meeting, I just want to throw this out there.
Do it.
In 2016,
yeah.
Right? Trace McSorley's
season
first
opener.
Start. As a quarterback, 33-13 Penn State victory. Kent State's gone 6-19 since that game. Penn State has gone 23-5.
Hey, Shay, this is your shot at retribution. What defensive back returned an interception for a touchdown in that game for Penn State?
Oh, man.
You mentioned him earlier, and it did not go well.
Amani O. Thank you.
Correct.
Thank you.
I wanted you to say his last name, though.
I'm not going to try it anymore. I tried it, by the way, in segment earlier, Ross, and you missed it. I tried to say Amanio's last name.
Yeah, he was
you were here?
Yeah,
it was bad. Okay, it was not pretty. So, Bob, give me a couple of the keys right off the bat for you in a 35-point spread game where they think both teams are going to combine to score 60-something points.
Okay, so Penn State played very well in the second half against Pittsburgh. I thought they really, really they were clearly the better team. They made the adjustments. They overcame a lot. It could have been worse, although to Ross's point, Pitt did leave some points out on the field in the first half. Penn State still hasn't played a full game yet.
Correct.
That to me is a little bit of a concern. Now, I know it's Kent State, and I know if ever a James Franklin team was going to be flat, and I know every week's like the Super Bowl, this could be like where a little lethargy would creep in. But I want to see Penn State kind of start fast and finish the game. He said that after practice earlier this week. They didn't finish well against Pittsburgh. One other thing I would say before I turn to Ross is I do think this is the game where if they get up, some freshmen who haven't played, you play them. Just if you think they're ready, there's a couple of them out there I think that could still play that might be able to do some nice things for Penn State.
Such as
two wideouts, Justin Shorter and Jahan Dotson. I do think that there's been some struggles by some of the veterans. I think that you can be patient for so long, but if Penn State gets up, I mean, you want to take a look at both these guys, especially Justin Shorter, if he's healthy. I mean, that's an outside receiver who can do some damage, and you have to make a decision on whether you want to play him this year.
Is he healthy?
In James Franklin's world, we're never going to know. He dressed for the Pitt game. He was on the sideline. But then again, so is John Reed. So you just don't know.
But why would they waste travel spots and guys that how many people can travel?
Well, they increased it I think 5 this year to 75. It was 70, so that probably freed them up to bring a couple of kids. It could just be an indicator that maybe they're thinking about playing them and they want to do them experience a road trip.
I think that'd be good if they could get a lead in this game and play some of the guys that they've been kind of wanting to play, because this is probably their last chance. I mean, they might be able to beat Illinois by a decent amount too. That would be nice if they could get a big lead on Illinois with Ohio State coming up the week after.
Where do you think the biggest mismatches are in Penn State's favor in terms of Kent State? Like the one or two position matchups where you think Penn State has a huge advantage? I think offensive line and running back against Kent State's front.
So the thing about this Kent State team, it's a tempo team, and they're going to run 80 plays. So
they're going to try and run 80 plays on
that. That can tend to mitigate some advantages if they start a little bit fast and they get Penn State back on their heels. And the fact that the quarterback can impact the game as a runner as well can help Kent State's cause. This could be a game where Penn State has to play well, you know, for close to 60 minutes just because these guys might hang around. I mean, I think this guy's a good player. I think they have some good players on defense. But again, Penn State has their offense can be so much better if they get some more contributions from some other people in the passing game. It's largely just been Trace, Miles, and KJ Hamler on offense. And to what Ross is saying, the offensive line's played well, but it can't just continue. They have to get somebody to take the pressure off Miles and KJ Hamler.
Tight ends had 5 catches for 47 yards in the pick game.
You know who's interesting to watch is Pat Freiermuth. Not because he is necessarily going to be a big pass game weapon, but he does have the look and the physical build to maybe make an impact as in the run game as a blocker. The times I have looked at him, he does know what he's doing, and he will stick his nose in there. And that's something I think that would really help during Big Ten play.
He actually played the most snaps out of all the tight ends against Pitt, which is really interesting and probably not what you would expect. I think the tight ends have been okay.
Oh, they're okay.
You know, they're not hurting out every time Danny Dalton catches a pass because I'm like, man, Gesicki got smaller.
Freiermuth looks like a skinny kid out there, you know, when he lines up in the wing and in the H-back position. But then when he starts to block, you're like, this kid is...
Yeah, he's a pretty thick kid.
He's a pretty thick
kid. He actually should be a redshirt freshman. He reclassified in high school, went to one of those schools, like a Malvern prep type school. It was up in... Yeah. It was Brook School or something up in Massachusetts.
Guys, one thing just to watch is just to see how James Franklin and the offensive staff treats Ricky Slade in this game because he lost 2 fumbles.
Yeah.
And I think this is a game where... You just really work with him hard in practice, but you let him get back out there. He needs some success because they're going to need him later in the year.
Yeah, I was torn on his fumble and keeping him out of the game for so long after the first one because that was clearly just an accidental helmet that hit the ball in the right spot and it came out. And I understand he's a true freshman, so maybe it was partly giving the true freshman a little dose of medicine. But I'm also like, get the kid out there and get him the ball. And then they didn't do it until very, 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 very late.
I look at that like when I got in my first car accident.
But not your last car accident?
No. And my dad said to me, I was supposed to go on a date that night. And my dad's like, you can have my car, you're going, and you can have my car. Because he didn't want me to be skittish. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, you can't drive that way, and you can't play football that way.
Right. That's what I was
saying. It doesn't help anybody if Ricky Slade comes back, and he's got 2 arms around the ball, and he's not really running.
Which is what he did.
You got to be conscious of it, but you got to go. I mean, you got to play. He's more conscious of it now, but now just put him back at the...
I'm with
you. It was a perfect hit.
Yeah, correct. That's what I'm saying.
It was a perfect hit by that kid.
It was a perfect hit by the linebacker on that play, and it just popped out, and then it took 2.5 quarters or 2 quarters or so before he even saw the field again. So I just thought he could have played a little bit more. All right, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. Remember, you can enjoy Labatt and Labatt Blue Light every home game weekend at GoPSURV.com lot with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, and wine. All right, gentlemen, I want to talk about the quarterback, Woody Barrett, blue chip transfer from Auburn to Kent State. We mentioned him earlier in the show.
That name sounded familiar. I was wondering where that guy. I didn't know he was an Auburn transfer.
He's from Orlando, Florida.
He had nearly 400 yards of total offense against Illinois in the opener, had him on the verge of winning that football game. He also had 3 total touchdowns in that game. He is a threat to Penn State as the defense is comprised right now. I think the biggest step forward Penn State can make in this game is to neutralize him a little bit. However you do that, with the linebackers up front, making him a little one-dimensional where you know he's going to run and not throw. But if he runs wild, this could be a little more interesting than you think.
Well, he's bigger than pretty much all the linebackers because they list him at 235. He's probably 255. He's a big kid. But look, at some point Penn State's linebackers are going to – I mean, it's going to come a little bit more easier to them. I love the fact – I really like the fact that they're playing a lot of kids regardless of down and distance, regardless of where they are on the field. Sometimes it blows up on him, like in the Pitt game when Brent Pry on 3rd and 10 had a 3-2-6 in the game, and they ran that cutback, and none of the defensive backs really wanted to tackle that big running back. But they've played a lot of linebackers, they played a lot of defensive backs, they played a lot of defensive tackles. At some point, I think the best ones are going to emerge, and it might be a guy like Micah Parsons taking over for a veteran sooner rather than later. It might be a good thing.
I would also say one of the things I think is important about this game, I didn't mention as much with the Kenny Pickett kid. I still think there are some concerns with Penn State and running quarterbacks, you know, yeah. which Pickett, he actually didn't take advantage of it as much as I thought he should have. Early in the game, I think he had a couple runs,
yeah.
but then it's like Pickett didn't run forever. I don't know why Pitt didn't do that more. I would have run the crap out of Pickett in that game. And I think that Kent State yeah. will run the crap yeah. out of Woody Barrett in this game. That's like it's one of the big equalizers in college football is the running quarterback at these smaller schools. By the way, that App State quarterback is good.
14.
I told you he was good. Did you see that? I told you that guy was good.
He's against Charlotte.
That guy's going pro. That guy is freaking good.
Yep. 14 for 14, 295 yards and 4 touchdowns against Charlotte as his follow-up to the Penn State game. All right, let's get to some picks. A couple tidbits real quick. Penn State's been more balanced offensively this season. 208 rushing, 204 passing. That can be overwhelming for App State. And don't forget about penalties. Penn State's two opponents so far have shot themselves in the foot with penalties. Kent State is penalty prone as well. They're averaging 10 for nearly 100 yards a game. All right, let's go to you, Bob Flounders. Your pick, Penn State, Kent State.
Yeah, two notes real quick. No Tommy Stevens yet this year. He's warmed up early in warm-ups but has not suited up. I don't see why you would play him against Kent State. I don't know what the deal is with John Reed. He suited up, didn't play against Pittsburgh, made the trip. I don't know if he's nursing something or they're just are going with other people because they feel he's tentative. With the weather seemingly ready to cooperate and maybe it not being so bad, I picked 45-17 Penn State. Had I known, I would have picked it a little bit higher, and I will. Let's make it 52-17. I think it should be a lot of points scored. I don't think they're going to stop.
No.
Penn State, and I think that Kent State will get some points on Penn State.
45-13, Penn State rolls, and we see some new true freshmen playing in the second half.
All right, I am going to go Penn State 41, Kent State 13. I'm saying the halftime margin is less than 14. I think Penn State throws it early and then runs it late and puts this game away. All right, that'll do it from our show from the Labatt Blue Studio. On behalf of the Keystone Sports Network staff, thank you for joining us. Have a good weekend and enjoy the game.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority and its recycling partners thank you, football fans, for your increased participation in game day recycling efforts. Remember, recyclables go in the blue bags or in the blue containers. That's plastic bottles, glass bottles, and metal cans. Everything else goes in the clear trash bags. Securely tie the bags and leave them where you parked. And remember, don't leave your grills, chairs, and other bulk items behind. Nittany Nation, let's be Penn State proud and keep our grounds looking great.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.